all colors welcome.
Where does it say all colors aren't welcome?
It says black on, sir. That means no colors.
I'm black, though, and I own this business. Like, what the fuck's the problem?
So? So?
Black-owned, you must not want any white customers. Be like, yes, that's what I said.
That's not what I said. You no, that's not what I said. I said that it says black-owned.
Yes. I hate those people so much.
Point out the obvious.
Y'all are being racist? It's like, what? No, we're not. We're just saying we can't own a business that says white-owned.
We're not being racist. We're just saying it like it is.
Oh, you mean, oh, okay, yes, that worked very well for the country the last 4 years.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Welcome. You're tuned into the Two Kings podcast with your hosts Brian Weeks and Adam Ricker. You may now enter the kingdom.
Good morning and welcome to the Two Kings podcast. This is one of your hosts, Brian Weeks, the Bald Beardy Bear. And this is an incredibly special episode today. And I'm actually going to throw it over to my co-host and partner in love and in life, Mr. Adam Ricker, the biggest of Rickers. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. sorry, a little fired up because of Facebook. But that's the whole thing we'll get into. I am Big Ricker, the biggest of Rickers, and it is a very special episode because we have our very first guest on the show, and it is someone that I hold in very high regard, one of my very close personal friends from wrestling and in life now, of course. The creator of Vox Talks and Live in the Arcade and everything. Mr. Billy Vox is here with us this morning.
Well, hello out there in the Two Kings podcast kingdom. Hello.
Welcome.
I think that was pretty awkward.
I liked it. Let's book it. Send it.
Book it. Send it. Game blouses.
Game blouses. But Billy's here to talk with us. Tell us a little bit about his venture he's got going on, chat with us about life, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I like so forth.
Yeah, so forth is good.
So, Billy, you have started the Vox Talks website. You've got a personal blog going. You do live streams from your impressive arcade that you've got built in your home, and you do some of the live streaming as well. So tell us a little bit about getting that all started, like, because you're not only doing all that, but you're in the process of trying to build a community out of it, where there's a on your website where you can direct people to other streams and other ventures that people you know have got going on.
So basically the Vox Talks thing that spawned out of a night I was on Facebook Live and had been drinking and started interviewing people just at random. Started doing the split screen, bringing people in, and I was like, oh, we call this Vox Talks. Ah, you're the next guest on Vox Talks. And so, quite honestly, in the midst of a mental health episode in November, I was up for a long period of time, and I decided to buy a domain and some web space, and I just kind of was like, this is going to be my scrapbook of everything, because I've dipped my hands in a lot of different stuff, and I was like, you know what, screw it. We're going to do blogging, vlogging, gaming, arcades, talk life, mental health, PlayStation, whatever the fuck, pro wrestling, it doesn't matter. And then along the way, through watching you with the Big Ricker gaming stuff and wanting to help those types of entities grow, I was like, you know, we're little, we don't have much, you know, a lot of us don't have money to push ourselves like mad and wild. You know, we don't have the money that other people have to be able to grow it. So let's do something that we can do where it's little to no cost to everybody involved. So it's a community page where I've learned my embed codes and that sort of thing, and it's like in your like using Big Ricker Gaming as an example. You go to the community page at voxtalks.com, and it's a list. Right now, it's you guys. It's Big Ricker Gaming followed by Two Kings Podcast, and I'm working on one for my buddy Paul. Mm-hmm. He does a hip-hop thing. So basically, you go there, you'll see these links. You click on the link, you go there. It'll tell you a little bit about what the entity does, whether it's streaming or music or I love to have people that cook and craft and whatever. It doesn't matter because my shit is scrapbook. It's all over the place. Just that's how my brain works. It's all over the place. But anyway, so you go in and, you know, Big Ricker Gaming, if there's a logo, like I put your social media banner to show where you can be found, talks about what you do, and then the person can tell me what they would like to be embedded, whether it's their Twitch feed, Twitter feed, Facebook feed, YouTube page, whatever, just one of those showcase things, and then a series of links to all the social media. So that hope there is I push that out, people see that, they find somebody new, and then me and the other person, like, you know, you and I are sharing each other's shit all the time, and it's that hope that everybody's audiences will kind of cross over, like, am I going to necessarily find people that are into your stuff, that are into my stuff? No, not all the time, but there's going to be those spots where people intersect, and I think that's really the idea, is to bring all these different things together to allow them to intersect, because gamers like other things, wrestling fans like other things, cooking fans like other things, music fans like other stuff. They don't just like that one thing. So in the spirit of me not being able to settle on, do I want to blog, do I want to vlog, do I want to stream, do I want to do this, and say, okay, I'm going to do it all, I'll bring it all together also, and allow it to kind of shake out however it shakes out.
I like that.
That's awesome.
I've certainly appreciated the support. Any sharing, really, is good. Like, it's good. It takes, like, 2 seconds to help support a friend's thing, and you see, I see a lot of people out there who... like in the wrestling community, for example, there's a lot of people out there very one-sided. They're like, here's my fan page, you should like it and share it. Oh, well, I'll do that. Here's mine. You want to do the same thing? No. Like, there's a guy recently, I'm not going to name names, because I don't want to ruin my chances of getting hired at AEW, but, there's a guy out there who has recently reinvented himself. I unfollowed his fan page forever ago, like, just because of, like, this reason. It's, hey, guys, if you share my stuff, I'll make sure to lift you up and boost you up and share your stuff as well. And I was like, all right, I could definitely use that because this person has enough attention on them that other people will see it. So like it up, share it up, you know, go give this person support. Not a thing back. So I unfollowed it, and I recently got in my inbox an invitation to like the page again, and I declined.
Facts.
Like, and I'm like, it's not that I require everybody to share it all the time, but don't come at me with the, oh, let's support each other, we should all be supporting each other and doing this and doing that. Then follow your example.
It's false positivity, and I know the name that we're not saying.
Yeah.
I've already picked up on this, and I could just go on a rant for days about it. And I felt like you were setting me up for one.
But, no, I was trying to.
But what I will say with regards to the sharing stuff is, like, even in the worst of moods, it's so easy to hit share. Like, there are times where I'm just like, because I like to try and add a little flair to certain posts that I share to be like, oh, you know, Big Ricker Gaming's live right now on Twitch. You know, go watch Call of Duty, whatever you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there are other times where I just, no. But share. It takes 2 seconds. But to the point of the other person there, I guess I will real quick. That other person out there, they love to sell this positivity idea, right? And just they're out there selling. And I can't believe that they actually pulled that little stunt, being like, oh, share my thing, help me grow this reinvention, but I'm not going to support any of your shit, because this particular entity is notorious for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of thing just exists far too much in that wrestling world, specifically, there's a lot of one-siders like that. Like, help me grow my character, help me grow my brand, but fuck yours. That happened far too often.
Yeah, it still does. Like, guys, we were talking about this in our, Billy and I are in the same group chat with undisclosed other members, where we just all shoot the shit, spill the tea, the kind of stuff we do. But in wrestling, people will only share the stuff they're involved in. So, like, you'll see a big event coming up, and rather than share the whole poster, advertise the whole show, someone will be like, hey, here's the match graphic from my match that's coming up one last time. And this is what's important on the show. Forget the fact that we have someone who's been on, like, all the major companies. We've got a David versus Goliath one last time repeat of a match that happened last month, but let's all come see that. Don't worry about all the new stuff you're going to see. Come see the same stuff, guys, because it's entertaining.
And sometimes it's a challenge for them to even share the stuff that they're actually in.
Yeah. When I was in booking IWE, like, it was pulling teeth. I had someone who I now think is a huge piece of shit, but that's a whole other situation, was doing our match graphics and was doing an okay job at it. And so I'm like, so we got all this work put in. I've drawn up the show ahead of time. I've got all this stuff in place. Everyone knows what they're doing. No one was grateful for it. And that's what was pissing me off. And I was just like, you guys have, like, you guys don't understand how powerful, like, social media can be if you use it correctly. Like, but no one wants to use it correctly. They want to worry about black-owned businesses. And
I'm sitting over here getting scalded by all this hot tea, but, yeah.
It's just, it's absurd. but what you're doing is awesome. Like, wanting to try and build a community, taking time on your website to push other people's stuff is not something you see very often or in this community, I guess.
I'm a little powerless man, but I try to help where I can.
But that's what matters, and that's all it is. Like, it is literally free to support your friends.
Yeah.
In any venture. Like, you don't have to write up a whole raving review and caption. Just hit the share button. There's a share now. It's literally a two tap situation.
Yeah.
You don't need to swipe right or swipe left. You just need to tap two buttons, and you shared it. And you can move on with your day. But, like, people have got all this time to post memes about what Dr. Seuss is doing or what Potato Head's doing, but they can't. That is the most ridiculous thing ever. Like, I randomly share stuff that, like, I'll scroll my feed. I'm like, oh, my friend's going to have a stream tonight. Share. One of my friends who I really, really love supporting, my friend Mecca. You know Mecca.
I've met her a couple of times, but I don't really know her, but...
Yeah, my friend Mecca, she does a stream every Tuesday now on Twitch, and she became an affiliate very fast for someone on Twitch. Like, I think she was, like, 3 or 4 streams in and got her affiliate status. She has an amazing wealth of support. She's been supportive for me as well, so, that's the kind of stuff that helps each of us grow. Like, proof positive that some support... And that's even just, if you're not into video games, it's a social thing, too. You stop by, chat with your friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do. I try to monitor the chat and play at the same time. It's hard sometimes, but... I'm really happy that, I'm really appreciative of all the sharing and stuff that you do for us, and...
Woohoo!
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
So...
anything going on this morning there that
don't get me all started and fired up again. No, I was in a Best of British. I don't even know why I'm in the group. I don't remember. This lady posted a screenshot of a company that listed itself. Oh, we're vegan friendly, and we're black owned. And she goes, oh, look at this. If we said we were white owned, everyone would be all up in arms. I would never buy something from a store that says just black-owned. They must not want white customers. And I'm like, you are literally on here justifying your racism right now.
Yeah, just a lot of racist.
Like, you are just justifying it now.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? Like, where does it say blacks only? Please, Is this kind of like when you gave us our own water fountain with a sign on it that said "Coloreds Only" once upon a time? Is that the same thing?
Yeah. No,
it's not. We're not.
It's sure not.
We're letting you know that this is a black-owned business because there are people out there that will literally will not shop here because it's black-owned. Or there are people that will shop here specifically because it's black-owned because they want to support small businesses. What mainstream black-owned business do you know? Like, it's hard because of this whole Black Lives Matter movement that we're just trying to, like, lift up and support these people trying to live. And everyone sees it as Black Lives Matter. Well, my life matters too. Yes, you're right. It does. We're not saying it doesn't. We're just saying we want the Black lives to be included in all the lives that matter. Because you can sit there and say all lives matter, but it ain't true. Like, that's not, it's not equal.
No.
little blonde white Susie Q could, like, get out of her car and slap a cop and poke at him and threaten him, and the cop will be like, "Hey, lady, calm down." A black guy could sneeze while handing over his ID and be shot dead in his car, like, because he may have a weapon. You know what I mean? If there's that level of an inequality, then that's a problem. Because I got pulled over. I was telling this story before. I got pulled over in January, I think, on my way home from work. It was it was a bad night at work. Client went off on me. I went home early. And I was speeding. I should have got pulled over. I was going 15 over the speed limit. Like, I didn't know the speed limit, but I was over. And when I got pulled over, like, for a second had that thought, like, oh, shit, I need to have all my stuff ready to go. So, like, I'm scrambling to find my registration, insurance, and my license, because that's what it is up in Maine. It's not the same down here. No, I handed him my registration and my license and, like, had my hands visible the entire time. Like, I was worried that anything else than that was going to be misconstrued as an act of aggression. And I shouldn't have to worry about that.
No.
But these people are on here, like, that really sounds like they just want black customers. If I just wanted black customers, I would say blacks only. And then that would be a huge issue. And then all the white people would want to shop there because they can't, they're being excluded. But, like, just because something says it's a fact, they listed a simple fact on their page. This business is owned by someone who is black. Oh, well, they must be racist. And people are trying to turn it around now. And it's like a big joke to them. And it's not fun. It's not funny.
I remember that, you know, not too long ago, I remember being somewhere and seeing on the placard walking into a business that said gay owned. And I do not recall anyone saying, oh, only gay people can shop here because it says gay owned. Like, I don't understand that. Black owned, exactly, it's a fact. And it's definitely not saying that. We get it, Kristen. Yes, your life matters. Your shopping habits matter. But, like, it's not about you. It is about, you know, equality. And that does not exist.
No, it really doesn't. Like, I'm trying to go back now and look here. And yeah, it says, so why aren't we making a big deal about the fact that this is vegan friendly? Or, like, anything else at this place probably says. And you know what the business is? A luxury collection of soy wax, candles, wax melts, and reed diffusers. This is what we're up in arms about. Because
fucking wild, man.
I know, a black Ooh. Person owns a reed diffuser store. Ooh. I don't think so.
Soy candles? How dare they?
Wow.
Ooh-wee. So,
and it's very nice. The purpose is rooted in invoking timeless comfort and connection through the art of candles.
How is that harmful to anyone?
Come on. It should be apparent and obvious that it's terrible.
It's like Aya Aromas. A-Y-A Aromas. It's a British business. They are soy wax, candle melt, wax melt, and reed diffuser business, who are under fire by the white folks of Britain because they're black owned.
Come on.
No. That is the stupidest thing.
I don't understand the up in arms thing for a couple of reasons. And I'll share the theory that I shared with you earlier about why I feel that it gets labeled as such. But to me, I'm desensitized to businesses saying, you know, black-owned for in this example, because where I work, I regularly have filled out paperwork that says, are you a woman-owned business? Are you a minority-owned business? Are you a black-owned business? Are you this type of business? There's so many different... So I've already seen all these labels. So to me, walking around, I'm like, oh, cool, black-owned. Or, you know, woman-owned, minority-owned, mm-hmm. whatever. I think it's just, yeah, to your point earlier, you're saying about, you know, the equality. It's like showing, like, hey, everybody can own a different type of business.
Right.
I don't think we need to be stating white-owned because whites own a lot of shit already.
It's the same idea as default. Why don't we have a white pride parade, or why don't we have white history month? Y'all get 11 months of white history month. Leave me the fuck alone.
You know why we don't have a white pride parade? Because we didn't spend 30 years with a book being printed for us to tell us where it was safe to shop, where it was mm-hmm. safe to eat, where it was safe to get gas, where it was safe to fucking live. We didn't do that. So
people act like this shit didn't take place just, what, 50, 60 years ago?
So when I see black-owned or any of those types of owned labels on a business, I look at it as them saying, hey, in the case of the black community, hey, my brothers and sisters, this is a place you can feel safe. Mm-hmm. It's almost like an extension of that book that was done. And in a way, it's, I don't know. Like, maybe it's my naiveness, but I'm desensitized to that, the labeling, but at the same time, it's like, it's a shame that it still has to be done, that people need to know where they can feel safe, instead of just everybody knowing that they can be safe everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the point. I may not have delivered that point properly.
No,
I got a little nervous there. Because it's a subject that I've personally never discussed publicly in this forum, and you know it's going to be out publicly after that. So I got a little nervous for a second. Sure. Want to make sure I delivered it properly. Right. But basically, to me, it's like everybody should just be able to feel safe everywhere. That's my whole thing. Like mm-hmm. my simplistic thinking of it, and it makes me really sad that people don't feel safe everywhere. That you can't. Right. Everybody of all types can't just walk around and be like, I'm here. Nice.
And segue that into what's going on now out there with all the Asian American hate. Like, that irritates me just as much.
Yeah.
We're talking about Billy Joe Bob, Hickville, whatever. I saw the kid, like, looking at him. I'm like, yeah, you were raised out in the middle of nowhere by very ignorant people. I can tell by just looking at you. I'm like, but you went to, three different massage parlors, killed 8 people, 6 of which were Asian. And we got the cop, one of the cops who arrested you, saying, oh, this is just a kid who had a bad day. What? I'm like, oh, hi, Loki, welcome. Yeah, tell him. You don't stand for Asian American hate either.
No way.
But this kid, and if he wouldn't have got caught, he was on his way to kill more.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad day. I'm sorry, like, I have bad days all the time, and I may be a little extra and dramatic about it, but I certainly am not ever one to go on a mass shooting spree of people I don't like.
Mm.
I was going to say of a race I don't like. I'm like, but I don't have a problem like with who anybody is. Like, oh my goodness, Loki.
Wow.
He's trying to be part of the podcast over here. Walk on surfaces that aren't surfaces.
So, I'll just say simply that if our fucking lovely individual in Atlanta was any other fucking skin color, mm-hmm. oh boy, poor Loki's going down.
Yeah.
If any other skin color, we wouldn't be speculating on what kind of day he had. It would have just been straight animal thug. That sort of bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's why there's not a white pride day or parade or whatever, you fucks.
During this discussion, I'm absolutely 100% listening, but I just a repressed memory just resurfaced, and I like when I lived on Cape Cod, I worked for a real estate agency, and we were 10 minutes from Provincetown, which is one of the gay mecca of the Northeast, And I remember having some folks come in from a local company called the Pink Pages, which was a telephone directory of gay-owned and gay-friendly businesses. And they were just basically saying, hey, would you like to be included? They weren't even looking for a display ad. All they were saying is, would you like your business to be listed in the phone listings? And I said, well, I don't have the power to do that, but I'll be happy to take your information, go to the owners. And I remember now going to the owners and saying, hey, you know, this is totally worthwhile. Also, it's not even going to cost you anything. We could buy an ad, but we don't have to. All they're asking is for permission to list your business name as a real estate agency, and they wouldn't do it. And I remember I asked them why, and they said, they're just like, well, we, you know, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but we don't want to, you know, we don't want it to seem like we are catering only to gay people. I'm like, but you're completely missing the point. It's only like that green book. It's saying that these are the businesses, if you're trying to support the gay community, or you are or an ally or whatever, and or you just want, just to, even as an ally, you can, this is a telephone directory of different businesses where you will be safe. And they wouldn't be a part of it, and it really bothered me. But I'm like, it was my job, and it certainly wasn't the hill I was going to die on for that. But I had forgotten about that until just now.
That, to me, that's a shame, because it's, I just, maybe it's super naive of me, but I wish that everybody was able to just live free, like, the not have to worry about a stigma related to being in something like that back then. It just, I don't know. Yeah. I can't properly articulate it all the time, even though I like to think I'm pretty good at words, but things like that where it's like, I'm a live and let live type of person where unless you are harming other people physically, mentally, that sort of thing, with how you live, I don't really care how most people live. Mm-hmm. When you cross that harm line, that's when I tend to have an issue with how somebody lives. But otherwise, right, it's like, let people live for who they are. Let people be where they want to be. Let people love who they want to love. Who fucking cares what your neighbor's doing?
Right.
Until they cross that boundary line. Mm-hmm. But everybody's got their little boundary lines and what they've been told is the right way and
yeah,
what's wrong. And everybody says, you know, generational thing, I guess, but it's, everybody's programmed and brought up a certain way. Like, when the era when I grew up, there was a lot of, like, oh, being gay is fucking wrong. And so, Growing up, I kind of had that mentality that it was gross. It was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And then, thankfully, that mindset didn't stick with me. A lot of things that I was around growing up, I didn't stick with. But it's some of the, I think it's just the, as it snowballs and that teaching is done, that's what leads to a lot of this exclusion and even people who are otherwise prideful of who they are. But when it comes to opening up and having that spotlight, it's like, oh,
yeah.
And that's just fucking sad.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a good time for us to take a quick break and come back for the second half.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, we'll listen to Adam's smooth and sexy voice talking about our sponsor.
Oh, yes. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the second half of the Two Kings podcast. I guess that was me doing the intro. We are back, and we're going to do some of these Q&A cards while we have our special guest here, I guess. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. These seem to be a hit, so I will draw one for you. Oh, here's a good one. What do you enjoy about your siblings?
Oh, I've got four of those. Mm-hmm. All right. My youngest sibling, I will save for last because I have, and it's no slight on the other four, but I have the best relationship with her. So I've got my oldest sister, Mista, who I don't see all that often, but when I get together with her, it's one of those things where, like, it might have been a year or two since you've seen each other, but it's almost as if no time passed. You're able to just pick right back up. There's no awkwardness. Like, when you see certain family members after a long time, it can feel awkward. I like that, and the conversations I'm able to have with her. Then my other sister, Dawn, I just like that she was always like the big sister vibe to me. Like, there's an age gap between us, but definitely always had that big sister vibe, and just, I can always feel the love with her, right? Mm-hmm. Then my next sister, Mandy, she will always have a soft spot for me, and I love her to death just as much as I love everybody, love all the sisters, but I have a special soft spot for Mandy because when I was a little kid, she was a teenager and could have done the whole too cool for little brother thing,
okay.
And she didn't. She always made time for me, and just, still to this day, I adore her.
That's awesome.
And then my sister, Katie, she was born when I was 7, so we got 7 years difference. I gave her her first bath, her first feeding, and we grew up together, and to this day, you know, now I'm 36 and she's 29. Wow, she's gonna be 30 next year. Holy shit. We're just, it's one of those things where we don't necessarily talk all the time or really even at all, but it's one of those things where we're just always there for each other. And we know that is the case. Like, she knows that if she ever needs me for something, she can call me. And I know that if I need, the most common reason I call her lately is if I need a ride from the mechanic, dropping my car off. But it's one of those things where it just, we know that we're always there for each other, even if we don't talk to each other. Like, I don't have super close relationships with all my sisters, but I love all of them the same.
Cool.
Nice.
Very cool. Same question for Brian.
What do I enjoy about my siblings? Well, I have one, and what do I enjoy about her? I enjoy the fact that we live a little further away now. No, I love my sister. She is, I really didn't for a long time. There's not 8.5 years between us, and she's younger, and there's a lot of things that, like, you know, personality quirks that can annoy, but sometimes those things that annoy are kind of endearing. But I don't know. She's always had I'm trying to figure out the love, she's, you know, I'm trying to think of, there's a word that I'm looking for and I can't think of it, but like unquestioning love and support for everything. She's always looking out for me. And I try to do the same for her, but, you know, just her personality. She's a really fun mom to her 3 kids, my nieces and nephew. And she's very direct and to the point. I there's a lot of parts of her personality that, I admire. I don't necessarily want them for myself, but there's ones that I admire. And one of them is that the directness and, but I also, you know, she's a lovable person, and she's a very loving person, very supportive. And I guess that's what I like the most.
Very cool. I have 3 siblings, 2 older brothers who I don't really talk with. They're half brothers. They're not even technically blood related, I guess. Like, they're from my dad, who's not biologically my dad, but he raised me, so he is my dad. so my older brothers, Bobby and Pat, Pat's a Marine drill instructor, but I mean, I've met him and like, we get along great. Just, he lives his life. I live my, it's not like a slight thing. My other brother, Bobby's in jail. He didn't choose the thug life. The thug life chose him.
Okay.
I have my little brother, Kyle, who I love. We've had a turbulent relationship. There are a lot of times we didn't get along growing up. A few times as adults, there were misunderstandings and misconceptions of personalities. But overall, like, I enjoy that we can get together and still, like, giggle like relentless little children over some simple jokes. And he's the father of my nephew, who I love very, very much. We're into the sharing memes back and forth as, like, our communication, like, we used to love playing video games together and all that stuff. Like, we were close for a while growing up, and then more in the teenage years, our interests diverged. But overall, I love my brother. He's pretty cool. He rides a bike. He'll be visiting probably around Bike Week here since we're near Laconia.
Right.
He works hard. He works very hard. He's got a nice house, like 3 dogs. He's married. So he does pretty well for himself. I'm proud of him. So
that's good.
Pick one? Yeah, you said you go up and you pick one now. And...
Oh, wow. Okay. What one question would you like to ask of an ancestor, and who would you ask?
Let's see. I don't know. I guess maybe I would probably try to reach out to my biological father's side. I know I was one of the big reasons I really wanted to get my stimulus sooner, which is coming later, but I wanted to take advantage of that. There was a really cheap deal on the Ancestry.com. So it was like $60 for like all this stuff that normally costs like almost $200. So I was like, I really want to find out more about my black side. I don't know anything about it. Like, I know my dad's name. I cannot find him.
Oh, wow.
It's not like he's hiding, or it's not like he ducked out. My mom got pregnant with me before she moved. She was relocated in the Air Force. Like, it wasn't like an optional thing. She got sent somewhere else. So she got pregnant with me before that, and the guy knew about me, but in 1985, how are you realistically going to maintain, you know what I mean? There's no Zoom video chats. There's no cell phones to text pictures. You know what I mean? It was a very different time. So I hold no slight in not knowing him, but I would like to find out more about, I guess, that side in general. So maybe an ancestor from that side to kind of get the family history down. Or like, where did I come from? Like, well, I don't know my lineage. I don't know half my lineage, so I could be a king. Well, I am. You are. But, like I said, I could be a king elsewhere.
Right.
All right, so I'm glad you went first on that question, because I was initially going to say that's too advanced for my brain at this time of morning. So now that you've answered it, and I know kind of how we answer this question, I would first take advantage of the ancestry business. And I try to isolate where in time I'm not going to say which side of the family, but I'm going to isolate where in time they fucked it all up, and I'm going to ask them, why did you fuck it all up? Why are there so many fucking assholes in my family? Why?
Why you do this?
Why you do this? I literally don't talk to 97.856%, three decimal points, baby.
Oh my gosh.
Of that family, because they suck fucking assholes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not that I'm slighting anybody who likes to suck assholes, just, you know, don't yuck other people's yums, my friends.
Yeah, don't yuck
I'm just colorful with my words.
Yep. I love it. We don't yuck shame here.
No. See, you like what you like.
Well, Brian, your question?
Your answer has really got me, babe. This is, I would say that if I had to ask an ancestor a question, don't know. I would. Your answer was fantastic. And yeah.
I know it's
a tough one. Because I have an answer I want to give, and then there's the answer that I'm going to give. But the I really feel like I would want to... My paternal grandmother, who was like my best friend growing up, she passed away a while ago, about 10 years ago. And I think if I had one question I could ask of an ancestor, it would be her. And I would ask her to tell me, like, the family history of you know, all of it. She passed away from having Alzheimer's, so towards the end, she always was kind of a little loopy and always had little memory problems, but I think I would say that that's what it would be, you know, tell me your version of the family's history, and just to have that one more time to sit and talk to her.
I had when I graduated, high school, I had my aunt, my dad's eldest sister, fly me down to Florida for a week. That's like her treat to the nephews and nieces. But like part of that treat is she sits down and she spilled the tea. All the tea from the family. Yes. Like, she's like, you're an adult now, so now you get to know this stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, did you know your grandmother was kidnapped once for 2 days? Hey, did you know?
Jesus.
Did you know that your uncle, my uncle had a son out, I don't want to say illegitimate because I like,
out of what?
He's my cousin.
Yeah.
And I he's probably like one of the few of my cousins I actually still talk to, mm-hmm. Or still talk to me, I should say, that like no one in the family, but like my grandmother and my aunt knew about it. Even my uncle, like for a while, like they, like my grand, I love my grandmother and my aunt. They were like the dons of the family. Like, wow. After my grandfather passed away, it's like my grandmother and my eldest aunt were like working in the shadows, and they knew all the family.
Wow.
And I love that. Oh, like, yeah. I was like, that is so gangster. I fucking love it.
That's great.
It's just, it's awesome to hear these stories because you think you have one perception of your family, and then you're just like, wait, what happened?
My mom and I do that with my sister with certain things, getting some of that family tea. And yeah, it's great to hear it again.
All right, Billy, you drew a card here.
Yeah, I think this one is going to be a fun one. What was your favorite year in school?
You know, my favorite year in school, I think, was when I was in eighth grade. I was on a multi-graded team. They were doing some experimental at the middle school where they used to have... That's how they broke us up into teams. So teams 1, 2, and 3 were 7th grade. Teams 4, 5, and 6 were 8th grade. But then they started a team 7, which was 7th and 8th graders with each other.
Mega force.
Yeah, it was like the ultimate alliance. Wow. So I got to be an 8th grader amongst a bunch of 7th graders, and it was kind of like they relied on the 8th graders to help mentor some of the 7th graders. I look back now on how that was... Having grown up with these kids the rest of high school and stuff, I realize how they layered us in there. But it was still a pretty fun year. Like, overall, we did a lot of, like, group stuff. Like, we had one of those classrooms where they could open up the wall between the two classrooms, yep. And we'd all do things and play games. And that was a really fun year. And if it wasn't that year, I would have to say... my senior year of high school, because I did a lot of stuff with ROTC and had a lot of fun. Just a lot of fun in general senior year, getting ready to leave.
Alright. Hell yeah.
I would say senior year, definitely. Senior year was the year that I kind of like grew into my personality. That was the year that I came out. That was the year that seniors were at our high school. We had open campus as long as you were had like a C minus average, above a D average, as long as you were, you know, passing everything. We had open campus when you were not in class. So I didn't have a car, but all my friends did. But it was nice that, you know, I only had to take one class in order to graduate, but they made us take four. So out of I had three free periods every day where I could leave if I wanted to. I didn't always, but we also had a senior lounge because, you know, apparently we went to a really bougie high school, but we had an empty classroom that they let us bring in furniture, stereo, whatever. And it was, the seniors could go there and spend time in there as well. But it was just, my circle of friends seemed to grow a little bit more. And I think it was from spending time in that senior lounge of getting to, like, just sit and watch TV or listen to music with somebody that you really, I've known this person for 12 years, but now this is the first time I'm actually, like, sitting down, reading a book next to this person. We kind of got to know each other a little bit better. And that's, you know, senior year was a lot of fun. I mean, it still sucked because it was school, but it was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah. I dig it. All right. So as soon as I saw this, because I picked this card while you guys were giving your answers to the last card.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a few to think about it. So my favorite year in school was second grade. Okay. And that's because I started hating school come seventh grade anyway. So I don't have many years to choose from that I like. But second grade was awesome, and I'm going to tell you why. Because every day at recess was an episode of Saved by the Bell. No, like legit. We were all somebody. I think I was Slater all the time. My buddy liked to play Zach. But we didn't like do Saved by the Bell stuff. We were just Saved by the Bell. But also, our playground was surrounded by a giant fence. Like, this shit was a Green Monster sized, like Fenway Park style. So it was Saved by the Bell inside the steel cage all the fucking time. But then we'd sprinkle in with some WWF wrestlers. So every once in a while, like, I'd be Bret Hart, or my buddy would be Randy Savage, and he'd climb the cage. Ooh, yeah, dig it, coming off the top with the elbow drop. You got it, uh-huh. Second grade was wild. I got choked out in second grade because I choked somebody out because we were doing the wrestling thing, but somebody thought we weren't doing the wrestling thing, and he came up and choked me out. The food was great. I remember having breakfast for lunch. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm getting pancakes and maple syrup for lunch? This is crazy.
That's great.
Second grade was where it was at. Like,
that
sounds, straight up.
That sounds fun.
And since I'm going to throw an honorable mention to freshman year of high school, only for a moment I never understood the auction process, why we sold minors as if they were sex workers for the purpose of raising funds at school. Like, we sold dates in the school. Like,
wow.
Yeah. It was fucking weird. But I had brief notoriety because I drove an auction up on these three girls to $900.
Wow.
$900. I got a bunch of seniors to pay $900 for a date with these girls who brought their boyfriends along. They paid $900
wow.
to hang out, and there was like fucking 18 people. Like, this was, it was like a bidding war on the floor.
Wow.
And eventually, us freshmen were like, nah, let them have it, because...
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean to be disparaging about looks, but I got up closer and I said, not worth this amount of money. No. It was one of those things, like, from a distance, it was like, all right, that's mm-hmm. what's up. And then you get a little closer and you're like, no, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the case there, and everybody kind of got close and they're like, no, we don't like this. All right, you guys, you're cool. $900 later, a date with their boyfriends, and I got to walk around school for like 3 weeks. Everybody being like, this guy drove up the auction. But on a unrelated side note to this whole thing, like, I will never understand student auctions.
I've never even heard of that.
It was... Wow. Really?
Never.
Wow.
No. Did you have anything like that, Adam?
The...
Like student buy auction, a date? Yeah, like student auctions. Like, oh, you know, it's me. I'm Billy, and if you bid on me, we'll go to SmackDown together. Like that was one. That was actually one of the things one year.
Sold.
It was like, oh, you can go with me to the SmackDown event that's going to be at the Fleet Center. It was back when the TD Garden was called the Fleet Center.
Yep.
It was like, oh, you can go with us to SmackDown. It was so bizarre because it was minors bidding money on minors. Like I thought that was just a TV show thing.
Wow.
Like I've seen it in TV shows where it's like, oh, highest bidder, like using Saved by the Bell as an example, they even did it.
I don't think we did anything like that. It doesn't sound familiar.
High school was just fucked up.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I've seen adults do it. Like, that's a trope on sitcoms of, yeah. a bachelor auction.
But yes.
I have never heard of that with children in school.
My high school sold, the soccer team sold coupon books. Or like those Subway coupon passes where you pay like $10 for a book of Subway coupons, or they did like bottle drives relentlessly, and because up in Maine you have the 5 cent recycling gimmick, so a lot of the local, there used to be a thing where you could stop by the school during the day and drop off your recyclables, or the when I was on the football team 1 year, like. We would be driven around the neighborhood. Like, people knew, oh, the high schoolers are going to be coming in our jerseys. And you'd go up to a house, knock on the door, do you have any recyclables you would like to donate? And people would hand you a couple trash bags of bottles. You throw it in a big pickup. But what they started doing was the redemption centers in Maine. You can literally go in and be like, I want to donate these bottles to this. They have, like, a list on the wall. These are all the people accepting donations.
Wow.
And they actually raise a lot of money through that, through the bottle drives.
Wow.
Like, surprisingly, you and I alone go through so many recycling.
Right,
like, we don't
right.
recycle them because we're in New Hampshire now, but, like, or we don't redeem them is what I mean.
Right.
For a deposit, but that was, like, the bigger things. We had bake sales, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I never, I wish there was some kind of auction. I bought me a football player. I'd be like, hey, boo. Oh, no, I paid for you. We're doing this.
Yeah.
So,
I'm doing all this, right. Girl.
My school sold bodies.
Wow.
I'm trying to think. I was in a very fucked up high school, and it was probably good that I kept skipping classes and not going there half the time.
That's amazing.
Holy shit.
Oh, my God. You want to do another
one? Oh, yeah. It's my turn. I'll grab one.
All right.
All right, let's see. Okay. What's not... We'll start with Brian this time.
Okay.
What's not being taught in school that should be?
Common sense. No. I actually have a great answer for this, and this is something that I wish we had in school. There should be a basic life skills class, and I don't mean... There was a class called life skills that was available, but that was literally only available to the kids that they called special needs. That because I think it was like, I don't know, they were trying to be like, you know, you're not going to be able to get a great job, so let's just... But life skills should be certain things like how to hem your pants, how to balance a checkbook, how to, like, basically, like, the basic things that you don't really get taught in school, which to me, like, common sense. I mean, yeah, we take home ec and stuff like that, but, like, little thing, you know, even like light electrical repair or how to put together, like, we learned some of that stuff, but, like, stuff like I said, balancing a checkbook. And common sense stuff that every adult should know, that's the kind of thing that we should be teaching in school.
I fully agree with that. Absolutely would have been... I wish I'd have learned things like balancing my checkbook or my credit score, making sound financial decisions. Like, I'd have never went to the college I went to if I realized that all these years later it was going to still be haunting me, that
I chose a very expensive private school. And that's not like a flex. It was just literally, it was the first school I applied to that accepted me. So I went there. Like, in reality, I should have went to UMO. I think the course of my life would have been completely different if I went to UMO, because I would have been right up near the old town wrestling. Every Tuesday night, they piled into the VFW in Old Town and had weekly wrestling shows. But this is back when, like, guys like Alexander Lee and Johnny Primer were brand new. Like, brand new rookies wrestling with guys like Larry Huntley and the other guys that aren't around anymore, and the ones I don't want to say their name on my podcast.
Yep.
But they were up there actively wrestling all the time.
Huh.
And so it was a normal thing. Like, Larry runs an awesome show now out of Buxton and still wrestles everywhere. So he's one of my favorites. He and I didn't start off on the best of notes, but anyway. So, like, I think it would have changed how my life would have come out if I knew. If I had a base understanding that, like, what I choose to do with my finances now that everything is becoming available to me at 18, I wouldn't have snatched up those 3 student credit cards they were so eager to give me that I maxed out and never paid and are, like, long gone off my credit now. But it sucked because it didn't set me up for a good... I had no clue. I didn't know, like, oh, I have a checking account, so what do I do with this checkbook? I'm going to write a check and throw it out. I'm like, oh, I still have all this money in my account. What do you mean I need to leave the amount of the check in my checking account? Like, what do you mean I need to do this? Teaching that stuff, I think, would help people be better off in the future. And I think maybe they're starting to do that because of all these random kids who pop up on TikTok now who are, like, stock professionals who are like, we're making thousands of dollars every day because we know how to work the stock market. I'm like, I wish I'd have learned that. Mm-hmm. Invest my money properly. I'm like... I'd be lucky. I'd be like, I got $30 to last me till Wednesday. Like, there are 21-year-olds out there that are just like, oh, I'm going to swipe my card wherever I want. I'm like, fuck. I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Damn.
But I wasn't set, when I got into all that, I wasn't set up with a base understanding of how that stuff works. Like, and with life, you know what I mean? Life skills I kind of figured out on my own, but, mm-hmm. like, the importance of, like, going to the doctors and staying on top of your health or... your finances, all that stuff. They didn't teach it when I was in school.
All right. So you, Brian, you kind of gave the answer that I harp about all the time. So I'm going to just go ahead and throw a wild answer out there. It has been my life experience, friends, that not enough people know how to roll fat blunts. So therefore, I feel that in our schools, we should be teaching the youth of America how to roll fat blunts.
That actually was a 4-credit class at my school.
Oh.
Yeah, right?
Well, we need to expand the availability of rolling fat blunts 302.
Mm.
Advanced blunt rolling techniques.
That means 3.02 gram blunts.
Can you imagine reading prerequisites, blunt rolling 101?
You must have been able to roll a 1 and 2 gram blunt before taking this class.
Tobacco leaf cultivation 203. And then you can take.
You can vape this shit now. That's level 4 class.
Advanced concentrates.
Did you take your hydroponics elective?
Did you take intro to hydroponics?
Oh, shit. You mean I had to take that first before I come here? Oh, shit.
Guidance counselor's like, oh, man, if you really just took intro to hydroponics, you could get right into advanced blunt rolling next semester.
You'd be on the fast track to cultivating your own farm.
Good.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Well, this has been a fun week, I think.
Yeah.
Get ready to wrap things up here.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, thank you so much for being here, being our first guest on the show.
That's a pretty high honor. That's pretty cool.
So, guys, go out there and check out voxtalks.com. It's V-A-U-X, Vox, okay? Like, I know it sounds like I'm saying Fox, but fuck Fox. We are talking about Vox, V-A-U-X, Talks, TALKS.com. Check him out on Facebook as well. Lots of live streams, live from his arcade. You do with the $5 play gimmick where you play $5 worth of coins on the machine, see how far you can get.
Yep.
You're doing live streams from the PlayStation. I just watched a Twisted Metal Black stream recently. And you got some blogs and
vlogs and insights on all kinds of different things. It's a real good variety, so definitely check that out. Don't forget to also check out Currently Obsessed's new episode this Tuesday, up at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. I guess there's a good one coming this week. You were telling me a little bit about it, but I'm not going to spill any of the tea. So
yeah, it's but I can't wait to record it. It's going to be an epic one.
Yes, yeah, so grab a cocktail and let's get into it.
I gotta I actually have to think of a cocktail for this one because I'm going to make it themed to the episode.
Well, we just got Billy brought us that housewarming gift, that Black Label whiskey, and I had some of that last night, and it was Jack and ginger essentially.
Okay,
it was good.
Nice,
yum.
All right, put some cherries in there. I was going wild.
Yum, yum, yum.
But thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next week. As I always say, wash your hands, wear a mask. Even if you're vaccinated out in public, wear a mask. Just do it. Take care of each other, and most importantly, keep your hands to yourself.
Yes. And once again, thank you very much for listening to the Two Kings podcast, and where it is always Saturday, and we will see you back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Bye. Bye-bye.